This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
My commute last night was seeing how much basketball I could watch.
A bunch of it.
My goodness.
Some good, some bad.
Yeah.
A true mixed bag here in the Atlantic Coast Conference.
We did. We did have a true mixed bag last night. I would say this. For opening night of basketball, we had, I thought Duke looked the part.
Duke looked good.
Duke looked the part. 8-point win last night over Kentucky.
Coach K now 4-1 against John Calipari. Hmm.
Trevor Keels, Paolo Banchero combined for 47 points.
Looked the part. Those
Blue Devils were only 1 of 13 from 3.
Yeah, that's got to get better.
I would think so.
But you got to give Kentucky some credit. I mean, they played pretty good D there. I think those two teams that were nowhere to be found in March Madness, which is, can't even comprehend that, but it's over and done with. I feel good about both those teams, to be honest with you. I think Duke's going to be really, really good based on what I saw last night. And Kentucky's going to be good, too.
Virginia Tech.
Like the Hokies.
They were a
Just because we're on ESPN Blacksburg, but I like where they're going.
35-point winner last night, 82-47. Justin Mutz, 15 points.
When are you going to get to the team that I'm telling you is flying underneath
the radar? Sit tight. Louisville a winner. 72-60.
That's not who I'm talking about.
Boston College a winner. Congratulations to Earl Grant. His first game as the Eagles head coach.
By the way, you see the dance moves in the locker room afterwards?
Did not.
Players gave him an 8 on a 10 scale.
All right, good. NC State a winner. Miami a winner.
Whoa, don't fast forward NC State real quick. Wolfpack tied it to half. It was a second half explosion.
It was. And there is some concern. Manny Bates got hurt last night in the opening couple minutes.
That's where I'm going with you.
Darion Sebron, though, 18-11 last night. Terquavion Smith had 20. Remember Kevin Keats told us he was a scorer.
Buckets.
Yeah, he's a bucket. Clemson a winner last night.
Your son gave the pep talk at halftime, I heard. I heard Brownell looked and said, is Will Durham here?
I don't
know. Will's in the back waving.
I don't.
Come talk to the team.
I don't know that.
Down 11
to
the big, bad, mighty Presbyterian Blue Hose.
They were.
Blew them out in the second half.
Yeah. Carolina a winner.
Are you going to get to the team?
Sit tight. Carolina a winner, 83-67.
Hubert won the show yesterday.
Yep.
Aaron gets it again.
And wins. Caleb Love, 22. Brady Manick, 20 last night.
You're going to hear that name a bunch.
Yeah, I think so.
He's going to be good.
And Dawson Garcia almost had a double-double.
Off the bench.
Yep. And then.
Get to the team that's flying underneath
Miami won. They beat Canisius by 10, 77-67. McGusty had 20 and 10 last night.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Come on.
Did I tell you about Virginia Tech? I did.
I'm buying the Hokies.
Syracuse.
The Q's. I keep telling you, that's the team, in my opinion, in this league, flying underneath the radar. They get any love by the media. They can score this year, which has been a problem in the past. They can light it up.
Won by 34 last night. Jimmy and Buddy, 18 each. Julie Happy. Jim, he's fine.
They weren't even the leading scorers.
No, Joe Girard.
At 20.
20 last night. Syracuse was 13 of 26 from three.
Be careful, boys and girls.
They shot 54% last night. They had 25 assists and 9 turnovers. And I don't know what Lafayette Leopards are packing.
Not much.
But I got to be honest with you. It was a show last night at the Dome. It was the pitch and catch type show.
It's one game. You can't get too high or too low for any of these teams. Because there was some ugliness to the league last night, which we'll eventually get to. But I thought Duke, Virginia Tech, Syracuse were three in particular that grabbed my attention last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not surprised by the Q's.
Okay. We had some not so good.
And there were some uglies last night.
Let's click them off here.
Before you start, remember yesterday we put up the screen of the shot of the
and
shot
you
of the
said
schedule?
Everybody but one, maybe.
I said, no, I said all, see all the, and there was 9 games last night. We played 12 last night.
Mm-hmm.
I said, of those 9, we need to go 9-0. We did not.
No.
Did not go 9-0.
No. Citadel hit 13 threes last night at the Peterson Events Center and beat Pittsburgh 78-63. It was 17-4, and I don't think Pitt ever led.
No. They got within single digits, but it was the game was over.
John Hewley had 27-10. They were 15-31 at the free throw line.
The Citadel had lost prior to last night 46 consecutive games to ACC teams. Last time they beat an ACC team was 1979.
Right.
That streak is now over.
Miami of Ohio, the Red Hawks, got 23 from Mekhi Larry and beat Georgia Tech 72-69 despite 26 from Michael DeVoe and a double-double from Rodney Howard. Georgia Tech shot 39% from the floor. They were plus 10 on the glass but minus 6 in turnover margin.
Well, they're also 4 of 17 from 3. All right.
That's it.
So that's not good. But I will say this about the Jackets.
Okay.
If you go back to last year,
they lost to Georgia State in 4 overtimes.
Right out of the gate, they got up
lost
to
Mercer or something.
Right. They run out of the gate and you're like, yikes, what in the world's right. going on at Georgia Tech? And
right.
as the year went on,
right.
they cut down the nuts to be the ACC champs.
So some would say this is characteristic of an early start for Georgia Tech. In
I'm just saying we've kind of seen this movie before.
All right. Navy beat Virginia.
This one's unbelievable.
66-58. Jalen Gardner had 18 points and 10 rebounds, but Virginia went like 9 minutes without a field goal or something.
Eight and a half. The game was tied up 55 apiece with about 8:50 whatever, and Virginia decided to go AWOL. They
Navy
had nothing.
Hit 11 of 21 from three. It had been 35 years since David Robinson played for Paul Evans in Annapolis that the mids had upset a top 25
team. It's only the second time Navy has knocked off a ranked team on the road.
Syracuse in 86.
They knocked off NC State in the 50s.
Well, they played Syracuse at the Carrier Dome in 86.
And I hear you. I'm talking about ACC teams.
Oh, ACC. Yeah. Well, Syracuse wasn't then ACC.
How about that? Not that, but that one was the one last night. I mean, Pitt's had some issues, right?
Right.
They were playing one hand tied behind their back. I'm not coming up with any excuses.
Neither guard on the floor.
Right. I'm not coming up with any excuses. Hey, your roster is your roster, right? Mm-hmm. One thing we talked about with college basketball, we have no idea what a team looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And now we get a chance to finally start watching some stuff.
Yeah.
But you and I were texting back and forth with our group text last night. And when it was 14-2, you knew instantly. Hold on now.
Trouble of brewing.
Yeah, I don't know what they've got, but that's an issue.
That's a problem.
And they never caught up.
That's it.
But Virginia losing was the one that shocked me the most last night.
Yeah, and really kind of a weird ball game. I mean, Mike Monaco and Malcolm Huckabee had the game last night, and they were talking about shot selection. When Gardner was on the floor, Virginia was good. They had you know, he's a big body, getting rebounds, things like that. I saw a lot of standing and shooting threes last night, didn't you?
Well, and Tony Bennett afterwards said, hey, you know, the effort in the second half is what it was missing in the first half.
Right.
We got that effort all day. Hey, you win a ball game, whatever the case may be. But, man, again, can't emphasize enough for college hoops. You got to buy a program because you have no idea who's on your team. Now, you keep mentioning Gardner. People may be going, I don't remember Gardner
transfer
from last year.
From East Carolina.
Right, so that's exactly the point. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is a transfer from East Carolina and was the go-to guy last night for Virginia.
Yeah.
So it's going to be an interesting year. It's wide open. I think it's going to be very similar to football. You know, Navy's an old team, right?
That's it.
Kentucky last night, you're so used to one-and-dones with Kentucky. They're an old team.
Yeah, Kentucky,
that's what made
by their standards, very old.
Extremely old. That's what I thought was so impressive about Duke. That they played an older team last night, and the freshmen on Madison Square Garden's floor, the whole routine, all the limelight, the celebrities, they played and they dealed.
Yeah.
So, again, it's one night. Who knows? You can't make too many crazy predictions from it. But there were a couple teams you expected to look good, and they did. There were a couple that were major disappointments, and it's not the season. Got to get to work.
Biggest issue that Duke had last night was Jose Fonseca was the busiest guy in the second half. Cramping issues, guys leaving the floor, having to hydrate. The Duke trainer was maybe the star of the final 10 minutes of the ball game. But here's the other thing, too. We all got caught up in some of the Paolo Banchero, and he was excellent. Don't get me wrong. Trevor Keels is going to be a problem in the league. Big body at guard, attacks the right. Look at this. I mean, that's just one piece of it. Here we go.
This is what he does.
That's what I'm talking about.
He dares you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming. What are you going to do, bud?
Yeah. Now, he and Jeremy Roach are high school teammates, so they can play kind of a 1A, 1B thing out on the floor. And, it was impressive to watch last night. I thought Mark Williams showed some improvement last night.
They're athletic. Duke's athletic.
Yeah. Wendell Moore, though. I said with a group a couple weeks ago, we were talking about basketball. This is the kind of Duke team that for all the freshman things that are going on with Bancaro and Keels and Griffin and guys like that, you get the sense that Wendell Moore and Joey Baker are going to have to play leadership roles, kind of guiding forces early on a team like this. And I thought Moore filled the bill last night. Baker came off the bench, gave him some solid minutes. But Moore early, Wendell Moore, I thought, set the table early for his intensity and that kind of thing.
And I go back to our interview with Coach K at the tip-off, and he said, you know, we got some men. Remember he talked about we got some grown men. It looked – like we haven't been to a practice and so forth. The last night was his first chance to really sample everybody. K knows what he's talking about. Yep. They were impressive.
Let's get to a cut. Here's the coach after the ball game talking about other freshmen stepping up last night beside Bancaro.
This kid right here is going to be a great player. He's not a good player. Trevor's a great player. And, you know, he weighs 230 pounds. And he, if he was a running back, he would know how to pick holes. Like, you intimated, he gets fouled. He doesn't charge very much because he's so low and has great body control. And, you know, for three straight years, he was probably the best player in the D.C. area. So he's been on a lot of those summer games where it's on him. And he and Jeremy were teammates at Paul the Sixth. You just got to stay healthy and recover from this. And I've reminded them they're 1-0. You know, it's a long season.
There we go.
He's right about that. It is a long season. Ebbs and flows.
Starts early, too.
But good win, though. Duke, again, as I mentioned, Coach K, 4-1 against John Calipari. And I think Kentucky's going to be fine, too. Those are two good clubs. I was impressed with Kansas, weren't you? Did you watch that game early? Kansas looked good.
I was really rolling through the I had three screens going last
night. Yeah, it was fun. It was. You know what was good? And, again, we're going to get to college football because it's still rocking in November.
Yeah.
But it just kind of – and that's why November is a cool month because you finally get a chance to sample so much stuff. Not to mention all the Olympic sports, fall championships going on. It's a good time of the year, man.
Quick word about the opener last night on the women's side with NC State and South Carolina. Really interesting to see the first quarter of that ball game yesterday afternoon at Reynolds Coliseum impact the other three quarters as much as it did. South Carolina got a working margin. Reina Perez played well, but Elisa Kanane came off the floor early with a foul and looked like Aaliyah Boston – took over, and South Carolina won by 9, but Packett always felt like it was two possessions most of the day.
Well, I was on radio while this was going on, so I wasn't able to watch it live, but I did see some highlights. Number one, crowd was awesome.
It was.
And I love the fact that these two are playing. They ought to play in every sport. I mean, it's a natural rival game, right? Two different leagues, two different states, got a little history. Again, South Carolina's terrific. Dawn Staley's got a great program. West has done an incredible job.
Yep.
So do they. They may see each other again. Would not be a bit surprised. See NC State, South Carolina see each other when it really matters later on in the year.
Yeah, so we'll keep an eye on the ladies. Katie Meyer in Miami, a winner last night too.
Record
big,
setting.
Big win for her. She'll join us at 9:15 this morning. We got a full show. Manny Diaz will be here, bottom of the hour. Clemson wide receiver Bo Collins, who took over the slot here in the last couple weeks.
Clemson might have found the answer to the slot question with Bo Collins. He was outstanding against Louisville.
Yep, Bo Collins will be here. And Ty Chandler, who went for two Bills and closed the show the other night against Wake Forest, will join us as well. The North Carolina running back ahead of the Heels and Pittsburgh tomorrow night.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
$4.99 today, big fella.
I'm well aware of it. Yeah. I got the suit pressed, ready to roll for tomorrow. Coat and tie.
Got a real humdinger, don't you? Wow. Going to wear a real humdinger, going to wear some dress shoes? We're going to have a suit with some Nikes on tomorrow, aren't we?
I've done that most of the time.
I know, yeah.
Very disappointed last night in the college football playoff committee.
They did. Yeah.
They did something last night.
You're like,
that
what?
I have no idea what's going on.
That's right.
Now, the chairman Mr. Barta, is going to be on the radio show this afternoon.
Nice plug for Off Campus on Sirius XM 84, ESPN U Radio.
That's it, 4 to 7, Monday through Friday.
Uh-huh.
I got to ask him, what in the world's going on?
Yeah, and he gave a roundabout answer to Reese Davis last night.
It was
that
a
made
terrible
no
answer.
Sense.
It was a terrible answer.
No sense. Well, we talked about it for about 30 minutes.
You know, that doesn't mean anything to me.
That doesn't help anybody.
It has
here,
nothing to do with anything answering the question. How is it possible? Now, you asked me yesterday, Pack, if you're in the committee, what's the most important thing that you look head to head?
Uh-huh.
You know, you rank them however you want. If you have a debate, you go, well, I'm not sure team A or team B. Well, my first question would be, did they ever play each other? Yes or no? The answer is yes. What was the score?
Mm-hmm.
That's how you break that tie.
Right.
I could have sworn last night when I'm watching television that Michigan was ranked in front of Michigan State.
They were.
Now, this wasn't like they played in week two.
No, that's right.
Like Oregon, Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
They played 10 days ago.
That's right.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Am I missing something?
No, you're there. You're there.
I didn't understand. Does that have anything to do with the top four? It doesn't. Not but now. But
it could.
You got to explain the mindset of what. How is that physically possible that a bunch of smart people in the room could come up with that idea?
I think we're going to have a government paperwork adjustment next week.
Holy
CFP.
Mackerel.
I don't know what's going
no
to happen
sense
this week.
To me.
But government paperwork adjustment could happen next week.
I didn't understand it. So Mr. Barta gets a chance to explain it to me this afternoon on the radio.
Right.
We'll see.
Yeah.
But for the ACC's sake, Wake did not drop as far as
three.
I thought.
Only three spots.
Which is okay. Yeah. NC State had a nice bump.
Went up.
Dave Dorn won
so
some respect
Pitt.
And got some. So did Pitt. So you got, you know, 12, 16, 21 if you're playing the lottery.
Right. Wake did not go as far as I thought. Remember I told you I thought it'd be, you know, 14, 15, somewhere in that neighborhood. Good for the Deeks.
And lo and behold,
NC State up a little higher than I thought, too.
Well, there were so many teams that lost.
I know.
I mean, you had to get a bump somewhere if you mm-hmm. won a game.
Right.
So, 12 against 16.
Saturday night.
Going to be
Truist
great.
Truist Field. Sensational game.
Right here on ACC Network.
That's it. You got it. It takes us to conference cuts. Ready? We're going to roll the league. Here we go. Start Chestnut Hill. Jeff Hafley at the podium. Talking about what it means to have number five, Phil Jurkovec, back taking snaps.
I think they were excited, and I don't think that's for any – and that's just me being really honest. If I just told you no, I think they probably were, and that's not to slight Dennis or Emmett or anybody else. I just think – I mean, Phil's been our leader. He's been a guy who's made a ton of plays for us. He's, you know, in our opinion, one of the best quarterbacks in the country. And to get that back when it was unexpected, because the guys didn't know. I mean, I didn't. When I found out there was a chance, I didn't run around and tell anybody. I mean, we just kind of brought him out and practiced. And the offense kind of knew, but the defense, I think they kind of saw him and they had no idea. Because I didn't want to get anybody's hopes up. But I think it's fair to say the guys have some extra juice and some extra confidence. But again, not taking away anything else from those other guys. Just Phil's been the guy.
3:30 in Atlanta on Saturday against Georgia Tech. Jackets trying to get out of their little swoon, and BC trying to keep momentum going. Eagles trying to finish and get a little postseason trip.
And well, that's the thing, right? 5-4. They were perfect in September. They were winless in October. Their star quarterback comes back.
Yep.
They take care of business. They look great defensively, shutting down Virginia Tech last Friday night. I think they look at Georgia Tech and say, hey, here's how we punch our bowl ticket. Let's go.
Yep.
And for the Jackets – hey, close against Miami. You know, they're kind of a weird team, right? Some weeks you get them, they're rocking. Some weeks it looks like not sure what's going on. But I think BC rolls in there with a ton of confidence, knowing that their guy, Phil Jurkovec, is back for the stretch run.
Appears a little bit of frustration has set in, too, with Georgia Tech. Jeff Collins telling some folks at his presser this week that if you don't see the improvement, you don't know what you're looking at type thing. So we'll
and
keep
the schedule for – we talked about it before the season started.
BC,
right?
Notre Dame – Georgia.
Play hard. You knew it was tough before the season. Now it's really tough.
Yep. Dave Dorn next. Talking about the focus of this week is as much about the game as it is about the bigger picture. Remember now, Wake Forest Saturday night is for the driver's seat in the Atlantic Division.
You know, going back to preseason, I think the staff and this team knew we had a chance to be really good if you know, things happened the way we thought they could happen. And I don't know when it was, but during training camp, I met with a bunch of the leaders, and it became very clear to me that for us to become who we want to be, it has to be about getting better every day and not about chasing the championship. You know, we've talked enough about that. We need to focus on just getting better and staying in the moment as a team and not allowing what we want at the end of the season to happen to get in the way of how we get to that place. And I think that was a player delivered message to me that I really loved. And so it's been me and our staff holding them accountable to that goal that they set to just stay in the moment and really be a 1-0 team each week, you know, and just try to stay there and not let people talk us out of it. And I think that's been, I know everyone says the next game is the most important game, and that's true, but not everybody embraces that, you know, and I think this team has.
I think Coach is right. They have. Absolutely spot on. And that's what good teams do. They don't worry about crystal balling it. Hey, if we do this, if we do. Now, the deal is, hey, 1-0 this week. Get to work.
You feel like NC State and Wake Forest have some sustainability about them, don't you now? I mean, this is two straight years NC State's had some sort of momentum through the course of the regular season. A team that builds, right? We thought they'd be pretty good. Wake Forest, again, pretty good. These two teams that are playing Saturday night are teams that are programs as a result of good long-form work and organization by the coaches and their staffs.
Well, you don't get ranked 12th and 16th respectively without that being the case. I mean, yeah, good players.
This was not fast decisions in the first 3 years.
Exactly right.
Right.
Exactly right. And you know what? You've also had administrations that said, hey, that's our guy. Let's get behind him.
There you go.
Let's support this guy. And if there are going to be some bumpy patches, mm-hmm. we get it.
Yep.
But you know what? We're confident that we hired the right guy, and he knows how to put together a staff and a program. And you know what? You cannot argue if you're at NC State and Wake Forest that that isn't true.
Yep.
That is spot on.
Tomorrow night, 7:30 over on ESPN, the ACC football weekend kicks off with Carolina's visit to Pittsburgh. And why Ty Chandler will join us in the 9 o'clock hour after a 200-yard effort for Carolina. Pat Narduzzi was asked about the reported 36 NFL scouts in one form or another that will be at the game tomorrow night.
I don't mention that to the kids. I say that to you guys, but but you know, they know people are watching, okay? And then the other thing is this thing called the eye in the sky. It's called a camera. They got the camera, you know, but I think it's interesting for some of those guys to come to games and watch and say, you know, just see it live. I mean, we go to games, we want to see a guy play live. I can watch the videotape, you know, that high school videotape, but, you know, when you get to see him up close and watch him compete and just, I mean, there's, you know, when the camera turns away, you don't see all the in-between stuff. You don't see how he's acting on the sideline. So there's all those, you know, I mean, scouts are looking. They want to know, you know, after the series over, is your quarterback talking to the receivers? Is he, you know, looking up in the stands, you know, signing autographs? What's he doing? I mean, they want to see all that. Who is he? Not only as a football player, but as a person. I mean, everything's on display when, you know, people are at the game, whether it's, you know, ESPN people, GMs, it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, the microscope is on all of our kids.
That's such a big game tomorrow night. Right? I mean, North Carolina.
It's a big game. It's a big game in the ACC for Sam Howell and Kenny Pickett tomorrow night. It's a really big game.
Well, it's a big game for North Carolina because, hey, guess what? Much like BC going to Georgia Tech, North Carolina can go on the road, punch their bowl ticket. Everybody's going to be watching, mm-hmm. right? Everybody's going to be watching. And here's Pitt in the command spot in the Coastal. Gave away a little buffer when they lost to Miami. Got a chance to stiff-arm North Carolina. The heels have really been the thorn in their side since Pitt's joined the league. And they've always played close games, right? The last nine determined by 7 points or less.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham, show number 499. Busy guest list, and it starts with the first one. And that is, right now, arguably the hottest team in the ACC.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a stretch?
I don't think so. No, sir.
They are playing some serious football.
No,
man, it is go time this week. Yep. Anytime the Canes and the Noles get together, it's personal, it's entertaining, and it will be intense. Let's head on down to beautiful South Florida.
A unique perspective Manny Diaz has. Miami native, Florida State alum. I mean, you kind of roll it all into one every time these two get together. I mean, is this week different for you just because of the just you personally with the attending Florida State and growing up in Miami? I mean, you got a feel for this like very few people do, I think.
It's a week that's always meant a great deal to me. As you mentioned, I've been on both sides of the rivalry. And it's special. I mean, I remember when, you know, when this game would really determine who would play for the national championship at times and who would win the national championship at times. It was a de facto national championship game. And I know Mike's trying to get them back to that level, just like we're trying to do the same thing here.
Well, I know earlier in the week he talked about not being at last year's game because of the virus and excited to be a part of the environment this week in Tallahassee. I bet the same goes for you and your team given the last couple of weeks too, Coach.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And look, I mean, it's one of the best environments that we get to play in. Our guys remember it well. And it's what college football is all about. I mean, just the colors of the uniforms on the field and, you know, the fall. And it's just perfect. It is college football.
Coach, I want to take you back before we look forward. And I've said this to Wes a couple days ago because he was doing your game against North Carolina. And I remember the game ends, you're driving, turnover, you're like, oh, I can't believe it's going to end this way. And you have an embrace with Mac Brown. And I told Wes, I said, man, Manny Diaz had that look on his face like, you've got to be kidding me, right? The doink against Virginia, you know, kids are playing hard, you lose the game against North Carolina. And as you're walking back to the locker room, I'm like, oh, my gosh, how is Miami going to respond at this point in time? From that moment to as we sit here and have this conversation, your team has not only responded by knocking off two really good clubs. NC State ranked 16th this week, on the road at Pittsburgh, they're ranked 21st this week. You take care of business last week. How in the world, I mean, talk about the culture. You hear it all the time, the culture in the locker room. I mean, you're 2-4, like you're going nowhere fast. Now all of a sudden you're playing better than anybody in this league. How does something like that happen? How does that happen?
Yeah, that was a very emotional locker room in Chapel Hill. But the thing that was real and everyone in the locker room felt is that there was a fight. And the way we played in the second half, really, in Chapel Hill, similar to the way we played in the second half against Virginia, our guys knew that there was something there. They knew the way we came together. And when we really believed that we could win, we were different. We just didn't have that belief in the first half of games for whatever reason. We didn't really have our confidence. And something changed, I think, that week before the State game, and whether that was Tyler kind of asserting himself. And if you look at the first quarters that we've played since then versus State, Pitt, and Tech last week, we've just been different. I think you can just see we're a much more confident team. We had a lot of unsettling in our roster through the first six games, you know, whether through injuries or attrition or whatever it is. And we are a more truer version of ourselves now than ever, and I think we are hitting our stride because of that.
Coach, the interesting part was when we talked before the Carolina game and you were visiting with us about your team, there was a lot of praise given to Tyler Van Dyke about the way he had kind of assumed this role after D'Eriq's injury. You echoed it. I thought Rhett Lashley had a lot of interesting things to say on our production visit leading up to that. It looks like he's cashed in on that, but at the same time, and I guess he's spoken about this a couple different times, the benefit of him being one of those guys in the spring is now really starting to pay off, it looks like.
Well, there's no question. I mean, he got different types of reps in the spring than he normally would have gotten. And it's not just the at-bats. It's the throws to the wideout. So, I mean, you look at the chemistry that he and Charleston Rambo have right now. I mean, that really began in the spring when there was, you know, Charleston had caught a ball from D'Eriq in a practice until August. So there was some timing, there was some chemistry, I think, that was formed. But obviously it took us a little bit of a while for you know, I think Rhett's done a phenomenal job of understanding what Tyler does best, what he's comfortable with, and our offense has really grown some teeth since that point.
Coach, everybody talks about offense, man, quarterback, wide receiver, points, but you know as well as I do, man, you got to stop somebody, right? It all comes down to tackling. That was an issue early. Is it possible that the confidence that you're talking about with your quarterback and your offense has kind of rubbed off on the defense a little bit? Because it seems like the tackling issues are much better now as opposed to what we saw in the first half of the season.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we are playing better. I don't know if it's died into the confidence of the offense, but we had to make some changes, just like we, you know, the offensive lineup sort of changed. The same thing happened on defense. And we're playing with some different guys. We're playing with some guys that are doing a better job of tackling. Obviously, the way that you drill it and the way that you emphasize it, you have to be able to fix your problems and address them, which I think we've done. Still not perfect. Nobody is. But it's getting better. Look, we knew we, as I mentioned, in that locker room at Chapel Hill, we knew we had heart. We knew we had toughness and character. We had to coach a little bit better. We had to play a little bit better because we were losing games on the finest of finest margins. And we've won tight ones since. But playing a little bit better has obviously helped.
All right, so here's the easiest pitch of the at-bat for you this morning. You're still mathematically in the Coastal race. Of course you are, right? Because it's the Coastal. But I got to believe you cannot let anything beyond Saturday at 3:30 at Doak Campbell get in the way here. It, one of the reasons you've had success, I'm gonna find out here in a second, is you've been able to keep it simple in terms of the process, right?
Yeah, this year is exactly to your point. I mean, look, we can talk about what's waiting for us down the line and where we could end up in the postseason, all that type of stuff. That would be just silly. You know, this team remembers being 2-4.
Yeah.
They remember being 0-2. They remember the doink against Virginia. They remember that heartbreak in Chapel Hill. And if anything, if we've seen anything this year, we've seen how close the margins are between winning and losing. They also have a lot of respect for Florida State. They see this team has really improved as the year has gone on. They saw that they had a thin margin of defeat at Clemson. This is not the same team as they were at the beginning of the year, and certainly not the same team that we played a year ago. I almost feel the same thing's happening with them, with us, where their roster has sort of settled out as the year's gone on. They've kind of found their identity and are starting to hit their stride now.
Coach, I know it's Wednesday morning, but does a Florida State week feel different than a regular game? I know coaches always say, hey, it's one game, can't get too high, too low. I got all the coach speak. But you see these kids, man. Everybody kind of knows everybody when Miami and Florida State play. Does it feel different in that locker room with the players this week than a normal week?
No, it's just a normal week, right? Yeah. Of course it does. Of course it does. Hey, I mean, all you have to do is, you know, as soon as practice starts, you pop on the war chant, and it just gets everybody going. And that's okay. I mean, look, it's not a big game, small game thing. We understand that. Every game we play is a big game. But this game matters. It matters to our fan base. It matters to their fan base. A lot of our players know a lot of their players. It's different, and it's okay for it to be different. It ought to be different because if you no big deal it during the week, when you come out and that horse throws the spear down, it's not going to be a no big deal then. So you might as well understand what the occasion is and how important the occasion is.
We talked about Rambo, but we'd be foolish not to mention Jalen Knighton here, right? I mean, since the Roosters come back healthy, you lose Cameron Harris in the Carolina game, just a devastating loss for that young man and an injury, an add-on to your team situation. But, boy, Knighton has really taken the reins for you in the run game, Coach.
Yeah, Jalen's done a phenomenal job. Offensive line's really improved, I think, over the course of the last five games, too. That's helped us out. But what Jalen and Charleston both give us on offense is explosion. And, you know, when you think about a rivalry game like we're about to go into, you know, these games normally get determined by about five or six plays. It might be special teams plays, could be turnovers, but it's probably going to be some sort of explosive play on offense because it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard for both teams to, you know, just dominate or have a high level of execution the whole game. So it's going to come down to those type of plays, and Jalen can make a play like that. And he's been so consistent over the last few weeks, and he's dangerous every time he touches the ball.
I got to ask, though, about your quarterback. I mean, between Tyler Van Dimes and I saw Rambo call him TV Dinner the other day, which is still my favorite one of all the nicknames. But have you seen a change with your quarterback, Coach, during this success? Has he become more vocal, or is he still the same guy?
He may be a little bit more vocal, but he's just so cool. And he exudes such a calmness. And I thought what was really good for us last week against Tech was we had a little bit of adversity on offense for the first time in a couple games. I mean, we got pretty hot at Pitt, and, you know, here come all the accolades and all the stats and all the player of the week stuff. And, you know, we have a really poor second quarter on offense against Tech. And you got to get in the locker room, and it's like, okay, hey, what happens now when it's not just smooth sailing? You know, when Tyler comes out, Rhett's got a great play called on a flea flicker. Tyler comes out, throws a great ball to Rambo. We score, and I thought Tyler really managed that situation. And his confidence in himself and his confidence in our offense, I thought, really saw us through that kind of sort of dry patch we had in that game. And that's going to be important because it's not all going to be, you know, easy by any stretch going forward.
You have seen a lot of quarterbacks, not only as a head guy, but also as a coordinator and an assistant along the way here. The arm angles he has to throw the football fascinate me. And he goes back and talks a little bit about baseball, but do you worry sometimes when he drops it down to, like, you know, sidearm or three-quarter that is he going to be able to get it there type deal?
Well, now's not the time to fix it if I'm worried about it. you have to remember I was at NC State with 4 years with Philip Rivers.
I know.
I'm not trying to make a comparison, but we never tried to fix it the way he threw it, and he did pretty well in the NFL throwing it kind of awkwardly as well. And I mean, accuracy is a whole deal, right? And he's very accurate. He makes great decisions, and he gets the ball there. So right now I'm thumbs up on keep doing what you're doing.
Hey Manny, does he remind you of any former Miami quarterbacks? Because I asked him that question
the other day.
And I thought his answer was interesting. I'm curious if yours will match his. Does he remind you of any former Miami great quarterback?
That's an interesting one. You know, I mean, I've heard people make the Kozar comparison a little bit because of the arm angle. I don't know. That's high praise. You know what I mean? And I'm gonna pump the brakes. We're five games in. That's high praise, though. There's some legends up on the rafters at this place that I know he's striving to reach.
You know who he used for us, Coach? It was fascinating. And here's one you don't normally get in the answer. He gave us Ken Dorsey, which I thought was, okay, that's a really good Miami quarterback, but that's not, you know, the Heisman Trophy. It's not Steve Walsh, Gino Toretta, Vinny Testaverde type deal. To give us Ken Dorsey shows me a little bit about his study habits and getting ready to play the position too.
That's right. It also probably reminds us how old we all are and how young he is. Those other guys, that's probably the only guy he's ever seen video of from, like, the U documentaries. The other guys are all too old, and those are, like, you know, black and white videos.
Coach, your last two answers tells me that you already have your game face on.
Yeah, you're
too good for us this week. I got to tell you, you're beating us to death on this thing because you're spot on.
Yep.
Spot on. Well, listen, congratulations on the recent success. Like I said, after that North Carolina game, man, I was like, man, I don't know where Miami's going to go. You guys have absolutely surprised the world by saying, guess what? We're really good, we're talented, and we're not going anywhere. So continued success. Can't wait to see you this weekend.
Okay, thank you all for having me on.
All right, you bet. Manny Diaz, head football coach at Miami. We'll go back to Coral Gables in the 9 o'clock hour. Women's basketball coach Katie Meyer, who last night with the win over Jackson State became their all-time winningest women's basketball coach will join us. She passed the great Fern Labadie last night.
Yep, and she's great to talk to. But I'm happy for Manny Diaz, right?
Oh, sure.
There was a lot of stuff floating around a month ago with people in the media about, you know, Blake James, when are you going to do that? And it's like, hey, it's a long season. You go through lows. And Miami at 2-4, Wes, the game you did. We talked about it. Man, they could have gone a total different direction. Just said, hey, forget this. We're out of here. They've done the exact opposite, they're playing as well as anybody in the league right now.
Yes, they are, and it's interesting you bring it up because when that handshake occurred and after the game, Roddy Jones and I saw Cameron Harris on crutches with a big knee brace on his leg, and I'm thinking, oh, boy, that's not good. Here's the running backs out long term. They've just lost another close one, and this was after the Virginia doink, a bye week, and then you come back.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you're thinking, okay –
2-4, and the schedule was, here comes NC State, who's rolling, and a road trip to Pitt, who's great.
2-4, and the wins were Central Connecticut State and Appalachian at the Horn.
That's right. I mean, and really, at 2-4, you're thinking, mm-hmm. boy, this could be ugly.
Yeah.
And, man, Miami has absolutely responded. Great for them, great for the league,
sure
to be honest with you. Big picture.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
You have submitted your accounting, and we have several entries this week. You ready?
Let's do it.
Alex Bell is first. Alex banged out number one, the Swiss. 2 State, 3 Pitt, 4 Clemson, 5 Miami, 6 Virginia, 7 is the return of the Mac, 8 is Cuse, 9 is Ville. 10, Georgia Tech, 11, BC, 12, Florida State, 13, Virginia Tech, 14, Duke, 15, Clawson and Brown defense attorneys. because nobody defended anybody.
There was not a whole lot of stopping there was on Saturday afternoon in Chapel Hill.
Yeah.
But it was fun to watch.
Yeah.
Say that much.
Oh, yeah. It was like Arena League on grass, field turf.
I highly anticipate Wake Forest to play better defense, though, Saturday. Otherwise,
oh, boy.
Be careful.
Yeah. Tyson Boatnight is next. Tyson has 16. He starts with Clemson breaks 20. And two is ACC weekend of catches.
Hey, that's they broke 20 like 2 weeks ago, didn't they?
Tyson's list.
I could have sworn I was there and saw it.
Tyson's list. Right. NC State 3, Pitt 4, Wake 5, Clemson back again at 6. I thought breaking 20 would. Anyway, Miami, Virginia, Carolina, Louisville, Syracuse, Florida State, Virginia Tech, BC, Georgia Tech, and Duke for Tyson. All right. Mark Falzone.
He's a regular.
He is. And you know how we know? Because he's got Djurkovic is back as number one.
That's a good one.
I think Mark likes the Eagles. Pitt, Wake, NC State is his top three. Clemson, Miami, Virginia, Louisville, North Carolina, Syracuse, BC, Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech, Florida State, Duke, and dissing your date on Kiss Cam. Now, this goes back to the Duke-Wake game on ACC Network a couple weeks ago. That is 16. So there you go. If you don't know, you can Google it and look it up. Kev Smitty, 2014 CFP. Why have a top 25?
Not happening.
Okay. He's just presenting ideas, I think.
I know, and I just turned it down.
You did. The Swiss 2, Pitt 3, State 4, Clemson, Virginia, North Carolina, Miami. Round out the top 8. Invaders of the North, Team of Mystery, that's Syracuse and Louisville for those of you just dialing in. Florida State, Boston College, Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, Duke men's basketball, all-time roster playing football at 15, and the Blue Devils, 16.
Wow.
Interesting.
Duke football keeps getting lower and lower, don't they?
John White is next. Whipple dropping a 50 burger is number one.
You know what? That's happened 4 times this year. The last time that's happened for Pitt, 1905.
Ooh, wee. That might have been Pop Warner or somebody coaching him.
1905.
The Swiss is 2, Virginia 3, State, Clemson, Miami, Pittsburgh 7, North Carolina 8, Invaders of the North is 9, Team of Mystery 10. Then we go Florida State, Boston College, Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, Duke, and Notre Dame is 16.
The Irish. They're back.
Make an appearance. The Irish come roaring back into the accounting.
I've noticed that North Carolina looks to be the real wild card team this week. They're kind of all over the place.
Carolina fans thought after the Wake win should have been a lot higher in our accounting, and now they're starting to see that it's like that with everybody. North Carolina's up or down or somewhere in the middle.
Well, you know, when you lose to Georgia Tech and when you lose at home to Florida State,
and you
lost to Virginia Tech. I mean, it's your body of work, boys and girls. It's not a one-week deal.
No, and here we go again tomorrow night with Pittsburgh, right?
I mean,
they're up and down like the Dow Jones. All right.
Plus, Mac doesn't like high rankings, right? Doesn't like when the media and people have expectations. So we got to temper it a little bit.
Roger Smith is next. To close out this segment of fan accounting, ACC quarterbacks are 1. Good choice there. He then goes Pittsburgh, the Swiss Wake, NC State, Clemson, Miami, Virginia, Syracuse, North Carolina, 9, Louisville, BC, Florida State, Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, Duke. No hot water for you is 16.
See?
That's NC State. That
goes back to Dave Dorn on our show.
And that's a good one. I like that. And then Snit, no NLMOY.
Yeah,
Brian Snicker not named the National League Manager of the Year.
The Manager of the Year is in San Francisco.
Oh, my goodness.
Your guy got hot for a month. My guy was great for 6 months. That's how that works.
Thank you, Roger.
Congratulations on the championship.
Roger, everyone in Braves country thanks you for your top 16. 17, actually.
I need to read a tweet real fast. This comes from Keith Hacker.
Hi, Keith.
H-A-C-K-E-R.
Good morning.
Says, at Mark, at Wes, hey, love the show. I watch every Monday through Friday. Always looking forward to a new week of Packer and Durham. If you guys would ever give me the, quote, Blue Devil of Kentucky a shout-out on your show, I'd appreciate it. Blessings. Keith, I'd love to do it, but we can't. So, appreciate the tweet. Hopefully you're watching.
One of those long-distance dedications.
That's Casey Kasem.
And when we come back, we'll be on with the countdown.
That's it.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.